Wilson is the Shadow Treasurer and joins me in the studio. Tim Wilson, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
According to this new Redbridge poll published last night, the Coalition has a primary vote of just 20%. That puts you a distant third and closer to the Greens than One Nation. Are you now a minor party in waiting?
That's cute. We're a political party that's focused on building out a story and a vision for the future of Australia. What Australians are right now is despairing of the state of this government. I understand why. We have a Prime Minister who's betrayed the community, who has broken a series of promises, and people are, you know, in despair and desperate for change. We need to be better and make sure that we clearly communicate to the Australian community what we're going to do. But I'm absolutely convinced that not just we will be here in the next parliament, but we will go on to win.
If there is so much ill feeling towards this government, why are those voters not coming to you?
Well, I think there's a chunk of voters who are just going to the orange paddock of despair because there's a lot of noise and attention there, but we need to actually make it clear where we want to take the country. And one of the things I've said consistently is the self-starters of the nation, the small businesses of the nation desperately need hope. Small business is economic hope lived out in communities. And we've got to back them in hard to make sure they're part of the success of the country. Instead, the Prime Minister's solution is to punch down at them.
You've called the budget an economic earthquake and have launched your own plan to index tax brackets. But your polling numbers have gone backwards again. Have voters stopped listening? And if so, why do you think they're not listening?
I don't think the voters aren't listening. I just think the space is highly contested these days. You've got to build out the channels of how you want to communicate to people as much as the message. And so part of our challenge is to make sure that we've got ways to connect with people where they are, so, and particularly to speak to key constituencies. Small businesses of the country are doing it tough right now, and we've got to be there fighting for them, and more importantly, delivering policies going to improve them, not simply allowing the Prime Minister to punch down at them.
On other policy areas, the poll also showed 40% of voters considered One Nation the best party to handle immigration, compared to 15% for the Coalition. What's your read on that?
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all, but they've never actually had to deliver an immigration policy or an immigration plan. And I think that's where it's going to come unstuck. They like to talk about these things, but they don't give any detail on, you know, how they're going to make up the immigration policy of the country, how they're going to prioritise skills, etc. So in the absence of that, they're just going to talk very loudly, whereas our focus would be how we deliver a plan that works for the country, that gets the skills in we need to build the housing stock or to create the jobs and economic opportunity for the next generation of Australians.
Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott has been selected as the Liberal Party's new president. He's declared that the Liberals are under new management. Let's take a quick listen.
Our job is to lead a people's revolt to be rid of the worst government in living memory. I promise you, we are under new management. We are hungry to win for our country's sake.
Is Tony Abbott the answer right now?
Well, actually, Angus Taylor is the answer right now because he is the parliamentary leader of the Liberal Party. Most people couldn't tell you who the federal presidents are of political parties. Liberal
law leader.
Well, they can now, and maybe they knew them in the past, but most people don't, because it's the job of the parliamentary party to make the case and to build out the vision for the future of the country and persuade voters to make sure that they understand that their life is going to be better under what we offer. And that's why when I talk to the small businesses of the country who are so distressed right now and feel like the government isn't on their side, they're basically declared war on them, that we need to be out there fighting for them, and more importantly, to have clear policy solutions that will improve their lives and give them hope.
Given that Mr. Abbott lost his own seat to an independent, do you think he understands how to appeal to inner city voters who choose independents in some cases rather than Liberal candidates at the last election?
Well, he's the only person who's ever won a seat off a Teal before, and I can say it's the job of the parliamentary party to make the case for policy, not the job of the federal president. His job is administrative, and I fully respect that role, and you need somebody to do that role. But our focus is going to be on making sure at a parliamentary level, whether you live in rural and regional communities or the capital cities of our nation, people have the same basic aspirations of what they want to achieve. The self-starters and small businesses of this country understand that the country needs to succeed for them to succeed, and that their success is also the country's success. So it's a symbiotic relationship where we do well together.
In your view, would it be better if Tony Abbott is sticking more to that administrative role and leaving the policy and public commentary more to Angus Taylor? Is that what you mean?
That's fully what I expect to occur, because that's the role that Angus Taylor has. As leader of the Parliamentary Liberal Party, he is the political leader and works and with the Shadow Cabinet, of course, and colleagues to make sure that we're developing out the policy and making the case for the future of the country.
Are you confident that Tony Abbott understands that demarcation that you've described?
I'm absolutely confident that's the case. But the key focus is, how are we going to build out a future for Australia which gives Australians not just comfort, but more importantly, to feel like we're going to build a better tomorrow? Because we've got people in despair at the state of this country, what this government is doing in its budget and how it's punching down into communities and particularly small businesses and the self-starters of this country. And they need a government that's going to fight for them, not declare war on them.
Just finally, because the clock is running against us, business groups, many are furious with the tax changes in the budget and are trying to secure major changes. Will the coalition push for amendments to the bill to address those concerns, or have you dealt yourself out?
Well, we're absolutely going to be pushing for different amendments, but they're going through our processes right now. But do I expect this pig-headed government to listen? No, they haven't listened so far. We have a Prime Minister who said one thing before an election, is doing something different after he's won. He's consistently shown himself to be a bit of a fake to the community. And I think the chances of him or his Treasurer listening to the Parliament of Australia is about as equal to him listening to the voice of the Australian people, which he has completely disregarded and betrayed.
I must ask you quickly, are you concerned to see house prices starting to fall in Sydney or Melbourne in this latest Cotality data?
I'm not somebody who's always believed it's great that house prices continue to go up. I think, you know, we want to make sure that young Australians have a chance to get ahead. The question is why they're falling. And they're falling because confidence has been sapped. We've seen this consistently. And so it doesn't surprise me that an environment where confidence is sapped, interest rates are going up, that Australian households are struggling and people are less confident about their future. And I think that's really sad. I want young Australians to look to the future with confidence and hope, not look at it where they are not confident to make a big financial decision about buying a home.
So is falling prices good as long as the why is right?
Well, sometimes it's a reflection of broader economic circumstances. And so, you know, house prices move around in different parts of the country at any time. There's not one property market. But in Australia right now, when you have a government that is undercutting and kneecapping people's confidence, it shouldn't surprise that people are less confident about the future. But this is a very short-term event so far, except in Victoria, where we've had a disastrous government for a long period of time and have actively undermined any new construction. And there's a tail. When people don't build new houses, and the government's own budget says they're going to build 35,000 fewer houses, in the long run, there'll be more people but fewer houses, which means prices can only go upward again.
Tim Wilson, I appreciate you coming in this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.